If we just look at verse 3, like...
Toward the microphone.
If we just look at verse 3, like we've been saying about those who are fearful and afraid, I think another way to look at it is that this group of people, they felt like they had something to lose. And I think that if we want to live for Christ, if we want to do His work, our hearts have to be undivided, and we have to be holy for Him. And we see that a huge number of them left. So it's few. There's few people who have undivided hearts. We looked at Joshua and Caleb, and I think it's just a lesson for us to wholly follow the Lord.
Amen. And the Lord has given us a remedy for fear. Young ones, the Lord gave us remedy for fear. We said 2 days ago that there is a fear not for every day. Every day the Lord brings me out to face the enemy somehow. There is a fear not that will go with you. If I ask the question, the most known psalm in the scripture, everybody would agree, it's Psalm 23. Though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. When Paul was encouraging a young man, he says, God did not give us the spirit of fear or cowardness. Listen, we are exhorted in the scripture to fear one. And that is the Lord Himself. Whether in reverence or whether in fear of disobedience, where it's a fearful thing to fall in the hand of living God. More than that, as long as I'm in the good of who God is. There is a verse, you know what? The Lord didn't need the 1%, but it comes down to 1%. Right? My calculation is right this time, Chris? Yeah. So it's almost down to 1%. Okay? But two-thirds problem was the fear. And dear brethren, dear young ones, God is able to dispel fear. When I am in the good of all what Christ has done for me, and He is available there for me. Take this verse from Romans 8. And every time you face a battle, every time you face an enemy, think of that in contrast with fear. If God is for us, who can be against us?
Just to continue the thought, He's not given us the spirit of fear. But dear young people, He has given power. He has given us power. He has given a sound mind. I'm misquoting the verse a little bit. Strength. I hope we do not leave this conference not realizing it is the path of individual faith that we are called to. Let me tell you, young people, you're not going to find great crowds wanting to follow the Lord Jesus. They are not out there. Don't go looking for them. They're not there. The most are just like those that we had in the meeting last night. They all, with one consent, begin to make excuse. You see, that's the world that we live in. But the Lord still calls the individual. Timothy, listen. You've been discouraged. If there's nobody here that's never been discouraged, you probably don't need these readings. Most of us have been there. We know what it's like to feel alone and to think that there's nobody with me. But this is where the Word of God brings me back to, that the Lord says, I'm with you. I will strengthen you. I will encourage you. I will be everything that you need. If I've given you a job to do, I'll show you how to do it. I'll give you details of it. And I will support you in what you're doing. We
have another comment. Yes, just going off of, just adding on to the point, there's a verse in Matthew chapter 20, verse 6, just the second portion, and it says, for many are called, but few are chosen. And I think the difference between being called and chosen in a practical sense, for example, say God calls you to missionary work or something like that. And I think as humans, our first initial response in the flesh is just to obviously start thinking of the negative. Oh, I might not be that good at public speaking. I might not be able to do this, that, or the other. But like, as Brother Chuck was saying, it's not us that's doing the work when God calls us. It's us being used as that vessel through which He works. So we should rely on Him And so I definitely would just encourage us all as we go back home. I think God definitely, we all definitely have purpose on earth, or else God wouldn't have placed us here. So when we are called, just remember you're relying on God who already has it all organized and planned out. And just as Gideon followed all the instructions he was given, that's really all there's left for us to do is just trust and trust and obey.
I think the very special thought in the in the book of Judges is a very unconventional way in which God works to bring about victory. Brother John mentioned the other day when Lot was taken captive, Abraham had 318 servants that he took to rescue Lot. It was pointed out yesterday that Gideon had 10 that went with him. Not 110 or 10,000, 10. With Eglon, Ehud was a left-handed man. We think of the right hand of strength. But in his weakness, God used that weakness to defeat the enemy. Shamgar had an ox goad, a stick that just moved the ox. Tell me, how many did he have victory over? And so here with Gideon, and young people, this is the lesson that we have to learn. When I am weak, then he is strong. It would be wonderful to go into battle with 32,000 men. Well, that multitude was greater than 32,000 men, but you might say, well, these are some of the finest warriors, and we're going to go. But we find that the hearts of those that left were fearful. And it means that they had not proven God, that they were not able to go into battle because they were dependent upon their own natural ability. And they looked at their own ability, as been pointed out here, and say, listen, we're not going. We are so afraid of defeat that we are not going. And you know, these verses speak to me in this way also, that God is going to rattle our cages to see if we really are dependent upon him. He's going to whittle us down. You see, you look around this room, right? We're all here together. Seems like everyone is going on. But when the test comes, God is going to shake us to see if our confidence is in him or if our confidence is in ourselves. So he whittles it down from 32,000 to, I believe it's 10,700 men, if I remember correctly. And yet the Lord now says, or God says to Gideon, the people are yet too much. He says, bring them down to the water. This is going to be another test for those who have survived the first test of, are you afraid? And you know, God was gracious, Brother Chuck, as you mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy. He knows our frame. And so there was a provision given for those that were fearful. And it wasn't that they were to be despised in that sense, because portions were brought for them after the victory. But they lost out on being used of God. Weak men, insignificant, small men, but the greatness of God bringing the victory. So he brings them down to the water, verse 4. And he says, I will test them for thee. It's not that Gideon has to do anything. You know, if I say, let me see if you're really going on for the Lord, I ask you some hard questions, I say, boy, Brother Tony doesn't like me. Oh, boy, that brother's speaking against me. So God takes it out of Gideon's hands. He says, I am going to test them for thee. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go. And whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same should not go. You know, this is where the rubber meets the road. You know, sometimes I have a friend. I may have a relative that I'm so close with that I'm not able to separate from them so that I might advance in victory. And God has to come in and he has to do the separating. And this is what he's going to do in this test at the water.